Radio show, the CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station, and this is Sister Cecile coming to you live tonight because we have some burning things to talk about. Yes, looking at Sister Shernell and Sister Brenda, they're coming live and we're going to talk the things them. So, people, hear this. Some people believe, you know, when you get to a certain age in a life as a woman, you're not interested in sex anymore, you know? But I am here tonight to tell you that, no, man, the sex thing's still right, alive and ripe, even after 50. And I tell you something, tonight I have my girl Shernell and Brenda coming on to talk to me about the sex thing. Sex after 50. So, yeah. So when you hear people, you know, say, you know, at 50, we are doing sex. No, man. No. I always tell myself, I want to be having sex even when I get to 70. So this is the number to call into the show tonight, 661-467-2407. Call me and let's talk about sex after 50. All right? So, as is Sister Shernell on. So I am going to open Sister Shernell's mic and we're going to talk. So Sister Shernell, good night.
Yes, ma'am. Hi. Why you want to put me on the spot?
So Sister Shernell, tell the people about how old you are. Because we know Zero, Sister Shernell. Yeah, we know Zero.
Oh, you thought why you want to disclose my age?
Backflip, up and
well,
top.
Well, this one, I'm, yes, all right, listen. This one alone, I'm in my early 50s, yes.
Yes.
And to be honest, man, me ripe.
You're ripe. Yes. By saying that you're ripe, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's like now I have the urge more than when I was younger, you know, because, I mean, I wasn't really exposed that much, you know.
Uh-huh.
As you know, growing up, I'm always in the church thing, you know, and my mother never allowed me to go up and down.
So I never really have
all that experience and stuff.
Okay. So you see, what happened to a lot of us as women. You know, when we're young, you know, you hear say if they catch you with boyfriend, you know, a bad thing, and you're not supposed to have no boyfriend, and you're not supposed to do this, and if you have sex, you're gonna get pregnant, and you know, a lot of times when you hear these things as a young girl, you steer clear of that. Me personally, I had seven sisters beside myself. Seven sisters ahead of me. I'm the baby sister. So I saw as a younger girl, I saw my older sisters and them boyfriend story and how my mom treated them. So I didn't want to fall prey to that also. So when it come on to the boyfriend thing, you know, you kind of, you know, not too interested because the church took precedence then, you know, say no, you don't want a boyfriend because the church, first of all, the church used to go a spirit church and you're afraid they get up in a spirit and jump up on you and say you have mad because they were gifted for those things in those days. But on a serious note, we were raised, and you know, you came up and you saw your mother and your father, and you see your mother and your father not sleep together and all of that. And you believe so that's exactly how this thing goes. You know, too lovey dovey and too closey and too nicey. Because my when I look at my mother, I used to say to her, you know, I mean, what kind of sex you guys could have? What kind of love making, so to speak? Because as you have sex, you get pregnant. And then there's 9 months of carrying a child. What kind of loving and kind of caressing and kind of hardcore sex you know, have and so on? No, that not going. So it's like you wonder about them. And you seen that as a child growing up, as a young girl growing up, you know, all those things kind of, you kind of have restrictions, so to speak. You know, so we kind of grew up like that and in this day and age, Anna said, supposed to go, no. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be enjoying sex. You're supposed to be enjoying sex. Boom, flick, back, flick, doggy style, up on top, underneath bed, all of them style. Yes.
That is so true.
It is true. And you're made to feel that sex was disgusting and nasty. And if you have sex, you're in trouble. You are in trouble because it is such a nasty thing. You're not supposed to be doing that. It's nasty. Yeah. So, in all honesty, it carried through. It's like a taboo. It's like a taboo. So when I meet a guy, all let me know in my age. I mean, in my sexiness and prime. Me not think say me not my prime right now. Just say you're ripe, yeah. And your body wants sex. Your body wants
sex. Of course,
because
you know they have this thing. I say you eat salt, so you know you eat salt.
Yeah, you
get that vibe, you know.
Yeah, your body wants sex.
You see, when I came to this country, you know, and my like the first real boyfriend that I had. And, you know, we're going with the things, and he says, I didn't even know what they used to call cum. So, like,
you see me at that ball.
After we were doing a wet thing, and like, we just come, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what the hell is this young man saying to me? You know? And I didn't even know the feeling. You know, you're doing the thing, and, you know, you feel this feeling, but you can't explain, or you don't know what it is. You know? And I mean, like, it really took me a while, you know?
It took you a while before you understand.
Yes, you watch movies, you hear people talk about this and that feeling that they had and whatever. So, you know, after a while, I just get used to it and, you know?
Well, you know, as a young girl in school, the first time I saw a icky on a girl's neck, I thought it was something bit her, right? And yeah, I thought something bit her. And when I come to check it out, I'm like, what bit you? You know, because there was this big, she was a light-skinned girl. And the whole of the girl's neck was like really, really red. And I'm like, what happened to your neck? What bit you? And this boy, they were all laughing. And this boy, that was fourth form, that means I was getting on to be 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys said, tell her, man, tell her, she don't know, tell her. And sure enough, when the boy tell me what it was, says a icky, and all you get the ickies when you're having sex. And I'm like saying to myself, like, then why would he do their neck like that and you're having sex? Isn't something nice? Mm-hmm. So why would he do your neck like that? And for the whole day, it's in my mind, it's in my head, for the whole day. mean, consciously it's there. And every time I see the girl, I'm like thinking like, I'm like seeing them having sex. And I'm like, no, sir. Mm-mm. I don't want to be caught up in this trap because me know say my mother that kill me with lick. That kill me with lick. If she ever knows all the likes of me have sex. So up until I was 18, no, I mean, I know nothing about sex. I mean, kissing a boy. I remember one day, one evening, my mother used to sell at the market, and Friday evening, I came home from school. Friday evening normally is Sabbath evening, and the sun soon sets. So come home from school and normally go meet my mother at the bus stop and help her carry her basket. And my father had a church brother. I was going to Church of God Seventh Day, and my parents went to the Seventh-day Adventist. We're all Sabbath keepers, but different churches. So when I, you know, taking off my uniform, I hear Daddy call me, you know, and tell me that there's a boy, Mr. Meliphant's son, out here to you. And I'm like, Mr. Meliphant's son? Clothes on and came out on the veranda, and sure enough, Mr. Meliphant's son was standing there. And Daddy was eyeing me like, and I'm eyeing him and he's eyeing me like, because I don't know anything about this boy. This boy got to my father's church. This boy must have just said hi to me one day. Never spoken with this guy. Next thing I know, I stepped down off the step because the veranda had steps. So I stepped down off the veranda step and was walking out now, you know, just like walking right by the boy because him couldn't come to me because I didn't know nothing about him. So I started walking away from the guy. So the guy walk and catch me up. And next thing I know, the boy hugged me up. And I know, so my father standing in the back of my head. I knew I had eyes, and I could see my father watching us going through the lane. And I give the boy one push, pushing in some Aurelia bush. I don't know if he get out of the Aurelia bush yet. And pick up a piece of Usain Bolt, run, gone, left the boy. And never seen that boy again. I mean, for a long time. And when I saw him again, he was on the other side of the road looking at me because, no. And as soon as we got home, you know, Daddy reported to Mama, Tintin, boy, come here and look for him today, you know. And I'm like, no, this boy didn't come to look for me. I know nothing about this boy because I was a little girl growing up in the community. Every little girl envied me. I wanted to be like me because I was just so proper. Me well behaved. Bus stop for school in the mornings, and by the time 3 o'clock, 3:20, 3:30, I am home from Linstead in my house. Right, so wow. I never had any time for a boyfriend and all of that. Never had a time for a boyfriend. So when, hold on, Auntie Brenda, I see you. Never had no time for a boyfriend. So you know, it was just school, church, and market. School, church, and market. I had nowhere to go. So when boy I start look for me now, when time I me start get breast and body start stick out and everything, and boy I look for me, I was one of the most aggressive young girl you could find. Because if a boy ever touch my breast or touch my bottom, it's a showdown. It's a showdown. Showdown. Because I was too aggressive because having seen your older sisters and see what they went through and know, saying, look, you're not supposed to have a boyfriend because one, you're going to get pregnant. And then my mother would always, you know, always say to me, you're the youngest one, you're the last one. Stay in a school, don't get pregnant. Stay in a school, don't get pregnant. Stay in school, don't get pregnant. All right, Sister Brenda, let me hear what Auntie Brenda have to say to us tonight. Good night,
hey,
Auntie Brenda.
Good evening.
Yes.
How are you doing?
We do good.
All right. I don't know. I'm in the middle, but just picking up on what you were saying. I grew up in a little community around near Waterhouse.
Tower Hill. I don't know if anybody know that in Pigston 11. And it was a thing, people, they had to go to school to let out school.
Mm-hmm.
They just set up and get dropped out or get pregnant or whatever. But I think the only difference, I keep on telling people the only difference between us, me and my sisters, and the other neighborhood kids was that our parents really had a vision. They were on purpose. They moved to the community so they wouldn't have a mortgage, so they could build the house in stages and build for cash. And their money was going to be invested in us. And we always knew that our way out was to get as good an education as we could get. So that was the focus. And you always hear about people who step apart and people who mash up.
Uh-huh.
And not having any brothers, the whole idea, the worst thing that could happen to anybody, and that I would think of as a teenager, is to get pregnant.
Yes.
And not finish school.
Uh-huh. That was
so
true.
My father had a reputation that he was a madman. Mr. Brown and his daughter, he was a madman when it comes to his daughter. So, I mean, it's like we had an invisible hedge around us. Nobody would really venture. And if anybody did, me never said for hell back and back somebody. I need them and them grinding.
Okay, I'll give them a Will Smith.
You know? So the thing is, I only came home. Most of my time was spent at school in every activity before and after school. So I came home to sleep.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's always a homework. I mean, was in a book. I need to find myself in a church.
So
very active and very busy.
Okay, so then there was no boyfriend around. So there was no early sex and all of that. Nothing going on like that.
No, my first boyfriend was a guy who was an engineer. He was an engineer in a telephone company, like 7 or 6 years older than me. He was being groomed for the ministry in church, and I used to play the piano in church. And it took me a long time. I was the last one to realize that I really liked this guy. Like, me so hungry, like that, and couldn't tell him. And by the time he got my attention, we were engaged. I was the first boyfriend we were engaged to be married when he was run down by a drunk driver. I never buried a man in the suit that he should have been married in.
Wow, that's sad.
Really quite tragic, but I have somebody that tried to fool me up now, and I'm all in.
Yes. So we're getting right there. So we want to get to Brenda right there. So I know you're past 50, right? I know you're past 50. And as a woman past 50, tell us what kind of sex you want at your age, and how is sex for you?
No sugar out me. Let me tell you, I'm a grown up. And she's given me a whole decade, guys.
Uh-huh.
I'm a grown-up, and I have my late husband helped me to really bloom and discover myself sexually and be liberated in a way where I got to know what I wanted, and also realized that there was more to sex than penetration.
Uh-huh.
And I am a little bit spoiled because my husband and I used to have our own business, so we either went to work together or, you know, went in close to each other and come home behind or with each other. So we could be in the office making love all day in open sight, and people would know because we had a look.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little inside jokes.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own innuendos. And, of course, I had my private office. He had his private office in addition to all the other public spaces. So, I mean, you could get a touch, you know. And we had lunch together every day.
Okay.
So there were times in the morning when Sam would walk up in the kitchen and I'm hurry to get out of the house, you know. From that encounter, you could know that it's on.
Okay.
And when we come home for lunch, there were times when we didn't travel together, so one of us would travel. And if I go to pick up my husband at the airport, you know, in the lunch room, I'll come home and I'll have a room booked somewhere. And if him see me turn up at the airport in a trench coat, he'll know what time it is.
What time is that? What time was that?
you know, we're going to play hooky. We're not come home and just call the kids and tell them they don't expect us.
Okay, so we're going somewhere, you know, going hook. So yes, Brenda, I know a lot of women will tell you that, you know, they love hardcore sex, or you have some women who just, you know, just lay back and just make a man have him wee, and, you know, and well, some women just take control and just deal with the issue. Chernelle, How do you see it? What do you do? Are you the kind of woman who take charge, or are you the kind of woman who just lay down and make the man
listen, I rather the man doing thing, you know, because, you know, my ex-husband, he would always want to be in control. If he's not ready, I can't touch him. You understand? Because he's saying that he's the man, so I must leave that up to him.
Oh, oh my,
you know,
God.
And those things are like turn off. Because, I mean, as I say, I sometimes I wouldn't even know what to do. You understand?
Oh,
so it's like I have this like a shyness about me. I don't really like to take charge in that area until maybe when I get in the middle or somewhere. You know what I mean? You know, but, and the thing is, I don't really like my staff man. You know, I like my man them. Like a ruffian, but in a good
like
way.
Construction,
time and place, everything. I love to be manhandled. I really do. I will instruct you and tell it to him, boy. You don't need to be all that gentle now.
Okay, so
no, really love the gentle. It's not all the time for the gentle thing, you know. I know all the time for the gentle thing. Because when I'm done, I'm supposed to be having the after effect. I feel something. You know?
I'll tell you what.
Listen, one time, I because I talk to God like how me talk to you sometime, you know, Miss Johnson. One day I get a piece of paper and I wrote down this. God, this is what I want. I want a man with a good thing. You know? He did answer my prayer, you know.
So you got a man with a good dick.
Yes, man, and he know if he use it.
And he know.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Now, even though he, because you know, him act like him the rude white type. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, he had to make me talk in a tongue, sky spirit, somebody.
Well, look here. The thing with me is, for me, it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. And right now, me when I was young, me walk and talk to myself.
No, sir.
I'm a shy girl, you know. So, you know, I never even used to, like, strip myself with the lights on.
Oh my goodness.
Until I get used to it, because even though, you know, some people say they sleep naked, I can't do that. I will have to get up later on in the night after whatever and put on my clothes. That's just how I am, you know, because I never think.
When
you're popular, the Christian thing, man, you still have that Christian mentality thing, you know.
You
what
know
is the angel of pastoral world?
That's okay, Muda. Well, her husband, because she's sleeping asleep in Brazil. I mean, I don't know where that.
Well,
you know,
you
I will
see,
put on, I will put these things
Brenda,
on because
Brenda.
There are some stuff to sleep in on, eh?
This is how these people were raised. And this is what we're talking about. How do you get away from that? You know, how did you get away from that as a woman? You said, you know, earlier that your late husband, he broke you out. He allowed you to explore,
yes,
and to know your body. Because
know
for
my
me
body, remember, understand women want, how
right.
Need it.
For me personally,
okay
I used
for
to
me
use...
To initiate.
I used to read a lot of novels growing up. I read a lot of novels. And a lot of them were very sexual and sensual. And you read them on your ears. Your ears stand up on your head. And when I started, my first experience with sex was such a turn off that, over the years, I had to will myself, I had to learn, I had to teach myself stuff, because, you know, you grew up and you're saying, you sex? That's a forbidden thing. When I got married at 19, I got married at 19, and because of the church, you can't do nothing. You know, you can't do nothing because it's like you feel like, hold on.
No.
Hold on. It's like the church then had these Holy Ghost speaking women. Church mother. And then, you know, say, you feel so guilty, you know, you don't want to go in front of them and your next thing you know, they might jump up because they might always jump up to the inner spirit, which me now know, say, not no go so. And some of them is just things they hear.
Hold on a minute.
So when we were engaged to be married, you know, you know, you come on my house and so on, and like my go and so on, you go right there, Oscar, and you want to look at organ squeeze, and then your feet same have an erection, and that's all you can do. So when I got married, the night I got married, after claps became, you know, no off take off my clothes. Right?
Yes,
me no know, and he was inexperienced like myself. So, girl, I had some bruises the next day. Me couldn't urinate. Me have to use a washcloth in order to urinate on it because it burns so badly, and it you know, it's like. When I went to the doctor, because me couldn't take it, when I went to the doctor says, like, it's called honeymoon cystitis, where it's like, you just, like, say you just discover oxtail, and you eat oxtail tonight. It's so damn sweet and nice. You want it next night. You want it the next night. You want it. So it's like that. So, my goodness. So even
that time I didn't want it to sweet.
Yeah. And even, like, I was so embarrassed, like, even my in-laws and so on, when we come and face them and my mother and so on, I feel so ashamed. Me don't want nobody to see my face because I feel so embarrassed because everybody knew what I did. Everybody knew, oh, you have sex, you know? Everybody knows they have sex. And then,
I'm illegal.
And then...
As much as I was married, I've never had sex in my parents' house. Like when my husband go visit them, as a matter of fact, I sleep with the kids and I'm sleeping in another room by myself because I couldn't do it. You know,
embarrassing.
Yeah. but the whole thing about it, no, if I had not, you know, my experience, it was bad, it never good. And even like, how do I, as a woman, how do I reach a climax? I never knew what that was.
Yes.
I never knew what that was. And, you know, you wonder, like, is this sex? And you hear about women only reaching climax and them screaming and carrying on and so on.
My husband used to refer to it. He thought it was, his primary thing was to pleasure me. That's what he needs to say.
That's the average man doesn't know that. The average man just want to jump on, stick them sitting in your pum-pum, and gone, them gone to work, and that is it. Yes, and that's it. And then just jump up, you know, look, it's just jump up and jump up. No brainer, but look at it this way. As a young woman, me not have none whatsoever. And this man had none either. So when it come on to it's like, what the heck?
I can't tell you worse. You know what used to happen typically, and that's what happened to me. My exes would treat me like something on a pedestal. And like, he mapped me like in a little alabaster box and he'd come home and take me out, brush me off, deal with me delicately. When him want to really deal with me, so go out the street and hear them talk about different jealous, ducky wine and all of them something there. This is what, just like what they used to do on the plantation, just like what they used to do, the British aristocracy used to do. They would have the wife, bears the children, and bears the name, and entertains, and all of that. And this is where the tradition of the town house, the town home came in, because the husband of the pilgrimage from the main residence, or from the plantation, or wherever, in the, it was in the suburb then, in the country. And then him got in gentleman's lounge. I'm having turn on so him permanent part-time person who come and do administrations in town. And I mean, she was there for his pleasure, so she would turn herself upside down, turn her in a pretzel and put her up on her neck. And she got everything and do whatever to him, and the wife of his only missionary the wife get. And the same thing we talk about jump on and jump off. And the wife never dare tell him, well, you know, this is where I'm most sensitive. Touch me on my breast. Touch me here, lick me there, do me that. No. I mean, that means she'll be dirty.
What him want
him go to the girl in town.
Yeah. And while you're on that topic, you know, I always ask this question, why do men cheat? But a friend of mine said something to me the other day, and just like you say, when men not getting what they want at home, that's when they stray.
Too long we have been, because right now I'm dealing with the same thing. Why do men cheat? Why is not one woman? Well, let me tell you, my experience of Jamaican men is that they want a composite woman. Them want a woman that look like a black Barbie. Them want one who can wine and grind. Them want one who can cook and keep house and whatever. Them want one who look like a fashion plate. Them want one who, right? And want to bear the babies. I mean, them want a woman for every reason and every season. Never mind what they don't bring to the table, you know. And now that we have shown them that we can go out into the marketplace and compete. Them want to go out and be the executive and come home and do all of them the same too. Well, my husband called me one time in and he said, Brenda, tell me the things in the house that you're doing that somebody else can do. So he said, what do you mean? He said, even if you have to pay somebody that somebody else can do, tell me what we have to be done in the house that anybody else can do but you, even if you have to pay for it. I understand. He said, all right, tell me what you're doing in the house that only you can do. And you know what he said to me? He said, you're my wife, you're not the maid, and I don't want you so exhausted that we can't enjoy each other. So you know what I mean? Get somebody for wash book and clean it, you know. Get somebody for do them, for, you know. And, well, I've got somebody to clean and iron and do all that stuff, and he and I would do cooking. Him do more than me. But this is what some men are not willing to do for you. You put it in the budget and say, well, all right. Maybe get somebody one time for the month to do a deep cleaning to take up some of the pressure for you. But then watch you do everything.
Let's get back to the issue of sex. All right. So as I was saying, I'm talking about my experience and what my experience did for me, because I never knew what a climax was. I only read that. Only read what a climax was. And for years, I never knew what that was, because you just lay down and the man just come on top of you, and there was hardly any kind of foreplay, or, you know, it's just, oh, you get ready, you get an erection, and I'm ready. And him come on, and him do him thing, and him come off, and not even thinking about you as the woman. You know, when I found out what my body could do, I had my ex-husband sit on a chair. Because I was talking to this older woman, and I was telling her that, look, if this is what sex is, I don't really want to be a part of sex, because it's not enjoyable. It is not going good for me. I don't like it, because I don't feel that I am sharing. I am just like giving, and I'm not receiving. I'm just giving. I'm just there as the giver. You just lay down and you just whine according to people. They'll just whine and that's it. But
it's mechanical.
It never sweet me. There was never a for me to say, you know, your woman a groan and a moan. There was never a moment for me to say, okay, she's moaning and groaning, so she's enjoying sex. No, until I spoke with this older woman, and she said, you know what? Let me tell you what to do. Try this. Let him sit on a chair, and then you sit on top of him, go over him. And that was the first time. That was the first time I ever experienced what was I never even know what it was, but me know said it feels sweet. You feel like the whole vaginal area start feel itchy, you know? And you don't know what happened, but you just explode. And then I never knew that a woman could squirt also. I never knew that. And when I read that, yeah, because once if you position yourself where the man's penis is touching on your G-spot, then definitely, me the believe so I urinate, me the believe so me urinate, me the believe so me pee. But guess what? When I found out that, I wanted to feel it again because it felt so good. Because it's just like you went to heaven.
You feel all the nerve endings come alive.
Yes. And that was when I started finding myself and start finding out about my body. I said, oh, your body can't do this. Your body can't do that. Yeah, man, your body can't do this. Your body can't do that. So from then on, I wouldn't allow a man to manipulate me. I would want to manipulate him because
I like to be manipulated.
But it's a give and take. Yes, but you, if you want, okay, what you want out of it, you're going to go for it.
Yes,
and when you go for
absolutely.
It and what he comes when you go for it and what when he comes for what he wants, then it's like you meet in the middle, and then both persons are satisfied. You have some men who once him reach a climax, once him come, him
that's
done.
It,
And you just wonder, like wonder what the hell just happened.
I'm down in the bed,
I don't know what is wrong with our men, because they don't understand. It takes so much. Me have a way to tell them, say, me not a woman where you can't juggle, you can't play with me, no man can't deal with one hand. So in other words, you can't have me over yourself, another woman over there, and you have to talk to one around the summer car. I know what it is when we're engaged, but what happens? These men don't allow themselves to get so deeply involved with all the layers of a woman, where them realize they know what all of that for me around out the center. Then there's something that them a lightweight thing for me around now, because everything when them look for them have it home.
You know, Brenda, you and Shirley brought up a point a while ago, like why men cheat. And you say, okay, man have a nice, sexy wife, man. Okay, wife sexy and nice, and the man still a cheat. Look at the little old jegge where him a cheat with. But you know what? He wants what he wants from his wife. He's not getting it, but he gets it from the jegge. And, you know, it brings me back to a point, a case I remember. There was this older man, living in my community. And all of a sudden, I saw his wife, older woman, wearing very short shorts. And I was coming home in a taxi one evening, and the persons in the taxi, they were laughing at this woman. I'm like, look, Panina, oh, she all out without, but she wear shorts. And I'm looking at the woman like, no, I have never seen this woman in a short. There must be something going on. And about a week after, somebody said to me, the man find a little young girl over the other side of the community. And that is why she started wearing shorts, right? Just for her husband's fear. So sometimes...
Why are we putting on so much pressure? Because, all right.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. It's not that we are put under a lot of pressure. A lot of women just allow themselves to become frogs.
Yes, get comfortable. Get comfortable. Right. You're married and then you stop dressing up the way you used to. You make him pull up.
All right, right now, I carry myself fairly well, and I try to carry myself well all the time. But try to make sure something smells good. And people tell me all the time, oh, you smell so good or whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with me. A man can go to me and he's not going to shame me. When I want my mouth hair, if I step out and carry her or something, he's not going to shame. And in as much as I'm a sensual woman, and you see me outside looking very prim and very sober and very all of that, But the man I'm with, him no say. If him get inside of my blouse underneath my skirt, when I have an underneath, I might not necessarily be pretty much sober. You understand? You could be all of that. You could be all of that. You could be bright. You could be accomplished. You could be all of that. Because, and again, I am very expressive. My man know how me feel all the time. I forget him, I ask him, I wonder if I tell him how I feel about him. If I don't feel good about something, I tell him I don't feel good about that. I'm not dwell on it, I'm move on. So I'm very open. You know, I'm very communicative. But then you're not getting the reciprocity. You're not getting from the other side. The man not making you feel desired. And you see my look for all and ogle all kind of. I don't even want to put down.
But you know, it has got to be that something is missing. It has got to be that something is missing. Right? It's either, it's either that this man is just into, okay, how about you having a husband or a man who is in his own world where he's fascinated by his television or his job? And when he comes home from work, that's all that matters to him. He gets himself settled in front of his television, and
that's
it doesn't matter. Right. So you see, you have a lot of, it goes both ways. There are a lot of men who come home and want to touch his wife, and when he come home, she backs off her and after him. You understand?
No.
She backs off her and after him. Not touch me, man. Not touch me. And then
if you're with somebody and you're talking to the person, tell me how you want to be loved. Because you know, the thing about love language, it's no joke, you know. I like flowers. I like my love language, my primary love language. If you want me, love you up to death and you're getting a thing out of me. Spend time with me. Two things I like. I like spending time together and I like physical touch. So there was them two something that going hand in hand. So me and a woman, when you can put one side and post one side and a payment of money, shrivel up and literally before your eyes. I'm miserable. I'm in a relationship with you. I need to be around you. I feed off that. I'm telling that from day one. Oh, hell. You want to take me and put me on a shelf? Do I look like
Doctor,
somebody who belongs on a shelf?
Do you think it has something to do with some of these men, their upbringing, because they never really see their parents loving on each other? Because I spoke to a few American women, and they're saying that Jamaican men, not all of them, you know, but some of them, they're not lovemakers. They just jump on you and jump them and tear you up.
Them do the F, word. Them do the F word. You know, Jamaican man, when them see you, Jamaican man, them see you, No, but yeah, you can. Yes, Brenda, you can. But the average Jamaican man, when he talks about sex, it's not the sex that you and I want.
Yeah.
It's not the sex that you and I want. You hear them come on and say,
your
baby, me not take a fuck from you, you know.
Sister, me want to come feature your ends later.
So you see, it's not the kind of love making, the cool and steady, the rock steady thing, the lovey dovey come up and squeeze and push tongue in her mouth and tongue in her ears and you know, that's not the kind of want. They just want jump on
and some bad joke.
Some bad joke. And come on, especially if you are not their personal woman, they don't mash up your pom pom. Because guess what? Them not take time. No.
Now, because one of them tell me say, listen, one of them tell me say, "Ma leave an imprint." That means say, "Me go want it back again."
Imprint.
Ma leave imprint.
Yes. How long?
Yeah, so seriously, sex, this is a Caribbean radio show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station, and we're talking about sex, and more sex, and sex after 50, because all of us on the show is, you know, we're past 50, so we're talking about, you know, sex after 50, so we're talking
with
Sister Brenda and Sister Chernelle. The story is sweet because
my love is not sick. Let me tell you, I don't know. I have to listen to myself. have to look into that.
Hold on a minute, Auntie Brenda. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, Chanel.
Yes, I'm asking, what's your favorite position, ma?
My favorite position is on top, you know, because guess what? Me love when me go on top, penis are up by your clitoris.
Last time, you know, the family backing up.
Yeah, and then you guess what now? You are in control, so you know how deep to go down, panda.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't want you. I'm afraid I don't want
you. No. You can control that. You can control that. But me know what, from the back, not especially from my husband, me don't want that.
Whoa, that thing hurt you like, whoa.
Because that's murderization. Yes, that's murderization. Hey, I see Auntie Martella come on, and I see Auntie Janet. So you guys don't have anything to say? It's free talk tonight. You know, anything goes. We just a talk as women. Women over 50. We miss Dr. Eve tonight, but Dr. Eve have issues with her phone. They've stolen her phone, so there's no way she can connect to me. So I talk to her only on Facebook Messenger, and she can't use Facebook Messenger if you connect. But I would love to have her on tonight because I would have wanted to ask her some questions. You see? Up in our business tonight. Up in our business. Yes, Tom Brenda, Shelly. Back to you. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
You know, my ex-husband used to call me Lizard Tail, you know.
Why?
You know, when you chop, the lizard tail off, it's still a move.
It's still a wiggle.
You have to learn to quit from it.
No, sir. When I meet up on some man with some big sitting, you know, with some V and stand up on that. You better understand yourself unless you want your intestines come out. Especially
if that man is a worker. You can't move from them.
One night, me swear me dead, you know, because one joke to run is me pass.
You think it's going to come to your mouth? Oh my goodness.
Right now, me want more loving, more than sex. We need some loving, like, really bad. No. I see when rain start fall, and I couldn't rain up, and I'm miserable.
Okay, I am not sure if any of my listeners want to say something or want to join in the conversation. But, you know, you can always press 1 on the keypad and you can come in on the conversation because we're liming tonight. We're just talking the things them, right? We're just talking the things them. Yes, yeah, so Brenda, Chanel. You asked me earlier what is my favorite position. So what is your favorite position?
Me say me like it from the back, man.
You like it from the back.
It's the back strap thing, man. Yes, God, this is don't think on me afraid of that, man.
My girl, you afraid of back shot. You get a back shot, you might flip in all the bedhead.
But you know what? It depends. No, man.
Damn it, make sure stay on the edge. Stay on the edge,
but
man.
But me can manage myself better.
Tell me how you manage yourself better. Okay.
Yes, because
He have better access too. You know, it depends on how you are positioned, you know, because I know everybody's tilt.
Yeah.
In a different position,
yes,
some back
yes,
way, some right
yes
in the middle, some to the front. So it depends on how, on your anatomy.
Back way, do not
you know?
To me. Back way, do not to me. Not a thing for 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 me.
Just make sure you plant your foot or your hand somewhere enough. Yes, man, you have to brace yourself and show them to you proper, you know.
And I'm more somber note, though. You know, them ghetto girl and them, you know, when them talk about sex and they talk about sex in the most derogatory ways, you know. And, oh, man, do them and, man, fold him up and, you know, bend him up like pretzel and bed over yourself, mattress over yourself,
no,
you
man,
know.
No, man, you don't have your one, yes. But they might be playing back car, backwards or whatever you want, and they flip you and you end up on your shoulder, one of your shoulder them. And then we tell you about the whole week. Oh, it's time you handle that song. Because now you're on your side, you keep the one way, you swallow the one way, and you neck.
Yes, you're for your neck. You see, all them, and you know, my little daughter, my daughter Nassine, she, you know, when Nassine really forgive me some joke, I say, tease all our auntie. I say, auntie, our auntie is so much of an evangelist in the church. I say, auntie, would you like to see all the head up, you know, because all of them Christian women, the women that we got church of God, when they go out, you see them go out like they're holy when they're in a church, catch them when they're in a them bedroom, a pure head up. All the first lady them, and thing. Yes.
Well, let me tell them, I have anointed hands.
You have anointed hands. Yeah. So men, so let's look at the men over 50. Men over 50, because I recently spoke with a friend of mine who I know from Jamaica, and he was telling me that he has Peyronie's. You know, that's when the penis bend like.
That's
yeah.
When it's bad.
So,
yeah.
So I started laughing. I was like, that's what I mean, I want to tell you nothing, you know. So, I was saying to him, can you guys know my
love? Some women like it, you know. So, I don't know why,
but
women like it.
No, but how could you like that? Because that's very painful. Because once the penis erect, and erect penis is supposed to be straight. It's not supposed to bend, because once it bends, it's going to, I mean, normally you have some men who carry the, or they strap their penis, like you have some men who strap their penis to one side, and then their penis will swing to that side and stay there, you know, like even when it gets erect. But a normal erect penis is supposed to be standing straight. So when you have like a carrot forming penis, a penis that bends up, you know, it's going to hurt you as a woman. It's definitely going to hurt you as a woman. So, and a lot of men, come to find out, a lot of men, 50 and, you know, just going over 50, are experiencing premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction.
I was talking to a professional recently, and he told me that there's a whole lot of help for that now, you know.
Yes, there's a lot of help for that. There's a lot of help for that. And even them little blue pills, the little blue pills, when they give you the, I was talking to this guy did the landscaping, old man, you know, but in fees, him a coxman. 70 and year old, but in fees, him a coxman. And I'm me looking up.
Maybe
he did. And me say, you go on, look, I look like you're ready to bed. So... So he was telling me that he couldn't get the little blue pills, but the doctor was giving him, his doctor was giving him some of the other ones. And his girlfriend, tell me that his girlfriend is 30 at year old. So I'm like, oh, you man is 30? Yes. So him say him use him little pills. So I'm saying, when him can't take like two, him have to take like four. And, you know, wait for like a 30 minutes. Yes. And when he wait for 30 minutes, no. And him going in panar. What? He said, me a murderer, mom, you killed that.
Oh, yes, that's
her.
You know what? I feel like a lot of men, when we are feeling rejection from them at this age, you know, I think a lot of them may be having some of these issues, but they don't want to be open about it. And
that's right.
Sometimes they're grown up.
They don't want, because men are not, the majority of them are not, like, they're not open. They don't want to talk about their medical issues. And once they're faced with that, because even me go start laugh after this man when the man tell me say my Peyronie's, and the man say, you know,
you're right.
Never want to tell you. Yeah, but you know, but I know him to be one of them coxman at Jamaica, you know. So I say, you know why you get that though? He say, yeah man, I'm a behavior long time, a long time behavior caught up with me, man. Yeah.
It's infection they get.
Say again?
It's infection they get, right?
No, it's not an infection. Okay, so where the penis rubs against the vagina, there is called a scar is left there. Like, you know, it's like it leaves a scar. And so whenever the penis erects, it just... I must look it up and next Saturday night when we have a nasty show, we come out. We definitely know what it is. But it depends, right?
I will be with a man and not talk about a man.
All right. Okay. So I am really
getting old.
Yes, Miss Brenda, I hear you. So when the penis bends, it's all well and good when the penis is flaccid, but once it gets erect, it just forms. Some penis, some of them go 90 degrees.
What?
90 degrees. So that cannot be comfortable, so they have to do.
It's not like the top part of it. That's bend.
No, not the top part. It's a bend in the middle, or it bends, it's not necessarily the top part. It starts bending in the middle. You know, when the penis rub against the vagina, going in and out, like, you know, in and out.
It rips it, no?
Right. So it gives it that
Yes,
car.
Man, that thing perky and you're free to go to the bathroom, man.
So see, all of them, man, they will love run up and down and they love fling them penis all over the place. They will get peronies one of these days.
Because they can't whine, that's why.
But not necessarily. Sometimes it can't be joking. Sometimes.
I mean, everything can't be like everything.
A little joking, a little stabbing, a little, you know, easy going, cool and deadly.
Cool and deadly.
Rocking dolly. All of that. All of that in there. All of that is in there. Yes, so 661-467-207.
Don't move it on this thing now, right?
I didn't hear that.
Don't move it from the side and make it stare, right?
Sometimes when you have sex and, you know, in a one position and you know, you feel sweet, right, there, so you don't want to move from there, so.
And then when they move, it doesn't feel even sweeter.
Sometimes they move the vibe, it kill the vibe. But let me ask you ladies this question. Even those who are listening, if you have an input, come on and let's talk, all right? So we're talking about a woman ejaculating. And a lot of people are like, woman can ejaculate? Yes, a woman can ejaculate and she can squirt, because I can tell you, I hear it, I see it, I feel it, I experience it. And it comes with practice. So any one of you ladies experience that squirting?
I don't know what I did. Well, just like how you say the same thing, top chef, you think a pee, maybe, because it happened to me before, so maybe because of all that pressure.
I find that I reach a climax two ways. We have a clitoral climax, and then I have
So you see,
Brenda, you when you said your husband allowed you to know your body, I learned my body from learning my body by myself. And experimenting, I say, okay, we can't do this, you know. If I feel this way when I'm doing it, let me not stop. Let me do this. And you find that I experience two forms of. Sometimes I may experience both forms in the one sex act. And sometimes I experience just one. But the nicer one is the clitoral climax. That's a nicer one to me, because trust me, your whole element lick off. Your head top gone.
Hello, listen to me. This is not Rixie, right? Just not proper, you know. You are going to your bed to sleep with your husband. And me, I'm 1, 2, 3, almost me. I go from bed to bed in there, me one, you know.
Never mind.
That's not right. I don't know why she chose to do that tonight. You know, I'm a single woman now, right? Jesus.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, man. So, ladies, sex nice. And apart from the fact that we were told earlier in our lives as young girls that sex is wrong, and if you have sex, what will happen, you know, and this will happen, that will happen, that will happen. And some of these things that they say really happened because a lot of girls got pregnant. But if our parents are taking the time, but they never even know themselves, because then most of the time, I don't lick them because they have so much. You wonder how the heck. how them have sex when them have so many, because I'm my mother and father. One doesn't pick me. Where them find time to have sex? Where? And every year my mother was pregnant.
What?
So where they find time? Where they find time to have sex and love making? I'm not talking about
time
sex.
To see Mm-hmm. When they find the fat seed, they must go around the back of the house and not sleep. I wouldn't have gone to school at the time.
No, but they daddy worked. Daddy worked.
Yes,
and you mm-hmm. and you never see them. I never see my parents sleeping in the same bed. Never. But their rooms were always right by each other. Because my dad used to smoke ganja. Excuse me. My dad used to smoke ganja. And mama never liked that. You know, she never liked that. And she had her bedroom, like, right, you slip through one door. Because I remember I told you guys about the story when I went and I threw some dirt on my daddy. And I crawled all the way from back room, at the back room, which part they have. We crawled through the living room, crawled through mama room, and crawled through fame room, and go through the dirt on daddy. So yes, they had their own rooms, their own beds, their own dresser, their own space. And we slept on the other side of the house because the house was one where the living room and the veranda and the kitchen were in the center.
It was a split, like a split plan.
Right, and then on the other, one end you have the two bedrooms over there, so for the picnic them, right? You have two bedrooms and you have three beds a night. You have little bed and you have big bed. And then the other room you have little bed. Right? So
boys are in the one room and girls in the other room.
So, especially when daddy did before everybody moved away, the massive move away, daddy made a room outside for the three oldest boys.
Oh.
So they had their rooms outside because they became teenagers before, you know, when they were teenagers and big 20-year-old boys, we were little girls. Because at 12, we saw coming down the line, so some 10, 15, 17, 20 years older than each other, than they call me now. Me, probably about, I have, my older sister is 10 years older than me, and there are four ahead of her. So, and my mother have us, every 2 years she have a baby.
That's
every 2 years, 2 years older. So, I would probably have a sister, have a brother, have my oldest brother could probably like 18 years, 15, 16 years, because when I was born, my second brother started high school at Dintil. So, so they were big boys, and so daddy made a room for them outside. They were outside, and we the girls, all the girls, and my one last brother, we were inside. So it was mainly girls inside there, mainly girls. So I never know the time when them have fiddle for them little thing. I mean, also my father was a coxman. Yeah, man, me know my father was a coxman. Yeah, me know
that.
My
father,
you see, we don't see you guys sleeping.
Papa, we were actually lying with it.
Yeah, like she didn't like it too.
I'm a sneaking. Yeah, my mother just kind of shy, but she's sneaking, and you know.
She looked like she didn't like it too. She because when she, my mother used to love wind up for herself, you know. She loved wind up, and when she had done, she wind up. And even when we got older, like, and we have our husbands and so on, and she had danced up with them and so on, she wind up on them and so on, and you know. And I remember one time we're talking to her, and she like, this is how me used to juke for and cool, you know. She wind up and juke. Yes. So that was how they did their thing. That was how they did their thing. No, you talk about no love making and go kiss up and kiss neck and kiss cheek and you know,
yes,
the next thing we're going to be
talking.
No, next Saturday night we're going to be talking about oral sex on the come prepared.
Hey, come on. Hey, I'm a single woman, you know, and next thing, me and man run for marriage, the next thing I'm going to be like
this. Somebody's son going to find you one day, not far away.
I told somebody that One day is not a day of the week.
But somebody son go and sign you one day of the week.
Girl, don't tell him, man. I am so ready.
Listen, hold on. You hear she did that talk? All I am to her, see her pum pum did that jump right now. See her pum pum a jump right now.
Guilty as charged.
Let me tell something
about the school now. You know when? All right, this is hypothetically.
Brenda, stop. Brenda, you have not.
Wrong.
You are not sexually active, so to speak. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Putting it in quotations. All
right.
So when you feel like you want to have sex, what do you do?
Lord have mercy. Well, right now, I have a woman boyfriend when I call and terrorize my cousin dog and junk her up.
So you have something I want to say. So you have something I go on for you. Saying that all dresses. All right. Hold on. Let's give Auntie Martella a chance. Good night, Auntie Martella. We're talking sex talk.
Yes. Good night. Me here, we have one. But me not so liberated like Uno, you know.
Miss Lou, liberation time come. Me's a single woman too, you know, sister. Me not getting a big people argument because me's a single woman. So
but
me
Auntie
not
Martella.
Run them joke there.
But Auntie Martella, I'm happy that you're on tonight because I'm going to ask you this pertinent question I just asked Auntie Brenda. So, I mean, Sharnell said earlier, say our mother say, once you eat salt, you're going to feel like you want to have sex. And sex is a natural feeling. So I don't know if you have any body in your life, if you have any side piece, side kick, you know, side man, boner man, whatever. I don't know which one you have, or if you have anything. But let's say you don't have anything. What do you do when you feel the urge for sex?
Hey, sister, you know, see, a long time, me no feel them way. They look like Mr. Pizza, too. Me no really have them feelings there. Because me no really put my mind there. So me no have nobody, me no think that way there. You understand? Honestly? Yeah, me no have nobody, so me no think that way there. Me just go on mute. Me just do my thing. Yeah,
when you have smart dog in your ears, especially when them have a really sexy voice, and you like hearing, you like them voice, and when you hear them voice, it makes certain things start stand up, and certain things start jumping.
Yes, Auntie Martella. So, all fun and jokes aside, because we know we are what our bodies are, and it's not like even the nun them feel like they want sex. No, because you know, say me used to go to St. Joseph Teachers College, and we used to laugh. What have nun them and said them there, when father gone in the convent, we know what go on in there. So let's say, you might not think about it, but how do you feel? Don't you feel any time at all the urge? You might see a man and him look sexy, him look good, him smell good, you know, because those are triggers.
Yeah, that's true.
So how do you?
Yeah, that is true. But
how,
yes,
how
sister,
you,
but I
how
mean,
how do you handle that?
As I said honestly before, me not really have them honest. Me just put them away and still the longest while. Me do all kind of things. Me go exercise. Me do me read. Me do everything.
You have a dildo, right?
No, hey. No. Hey, you know. No, sir. I never tell myself that I would buy one. Never.
Why, hold on a minute, Auntie Brenda. Why wouldn't you buy one?
Huh?
Why wouldn't you buy one?
No, because me not abuse myself with no dildo. Me crazy. I'm plugging. No.
Are you afraid to turn lawnmower for you? My niece, make I laugh so till. My niece, she used to call me, you know, she said that, because when she came here, she was married to this man. And when she came here, she and him get into a pickle and him left, right? So him left and move out and she, two of them get separate apartment now. So then the girl, I want for them pum pum constantly touch up, you know. So she called me one day and said, auntie, me don't know what you do, you know, me that hurt me. Me don't know what you do, me want some sex. So she said, all right, you know what you're going to do? Because it's not the first time she had called me. So I said, you know what you do? Find this adult store, and go buy yourself a dildo. And sure enough, she went and she bought one. And when she buy it, she called me the next day and she said, auntie, me say, I buy the thing, you know. And I tell her, she have a big daughter. Janelle was like probably like 13. And she said she locked up herself in her room. And Janelle never come home from school yet. So she locked up herself in her room and she said she turn on, you know, and she start play some music and start touch down the little projectile. And she said she start feel sweet and subtle. She said nearly lick out her brain, man. She said nearly lick out her brain. So she said she passed out. When she wake up, she find it on her chest. And Janelle come home from school. She said, Lord have mercy. Suppose Janelle come in her room and see this. So she said, every day now she use it, you know. So she said, use it until it turns land more upon her. It's a girl. She use it in the it turns land more. Yeah. So...
No, what let me tell you. I just don't get horny because
So Auntie Brenda, you don't have a dildo?
No, me not have nothing to tell you. Let me tell you,
there's nothing personally for me, there's nothing wrong with it. Me not talk about the one where you're pushing, you know, because that to me is just that this is just so gross. Because I have been into those sex shops and I can't tell you, no man, them have some things in there, you know. Them have some things in there that will blow your mind.
We used to go and experiment. We used to experiment with all kind of things. I mean, so tell him, say, look, man, there's something I can't do for me, what a real thing can do. The thing about me with sex, I didn't even know that I was still sexual because my husband was sick for so long. Mm-hmm. And I was going through hormonal changes just about, Mr. God is good enough. Just before he got his dementia diagnosis, I was going through hormonal changes. And then I had a hysterectomy. And, you know, he got, the dementia got more and more pronounced. And so all the time I was taking care of him, I became more like a caregiver than a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know I had any sexual feelings again. And somebody, the guy was telling me about this evening, him tell me, Mr. Brenda, not do you. And him come to me and not lend to me. I don't just get horny for the sake of horny because, Lord, me see a guy, him look good. I'm in the bed myself and I'm stimulated by just some external something. Like, no, you know, when I start to feel away, there has to be some object of my attention. I have to have a man that I'm interested in. And because I have a love interest, I'm very emotional and lovey-dovey and touchy-feely and all of that. So sex to me is not just an abstract thing. It's connected to a person.
Not an object.
So, you know, okay. I want to be around that person. I want a person all over me. I want to smell that person, and touch that person, and feel that person. And when I feel the need for sex, like when we say, when the rain starts falling, you know, it's a problem. We get very vexed, I get very upset because I want to know, first of all, why, you know, I would really like to be with that person. He's not cooperating me right now, so me only want to cut him off and be that night.
Yeah, look at it this way. I was just talking about the sex toys and fair enough, some people may not like them because I do not like them. I do not. But let me tell you, once I used that vibrator thing once, and believe me, me don't want to use it again. It was too intense.
Mm-hmm.
That was too intense.
But people would have been even, can't satisfy them again, you know. Never friend when
okay.
She doesn't care, she never get another man.
Well, because I have never had that intensity from any man at all. And I tell myself, no, I will not want to do it again because that intensity is too strong. Definitely
right.
Too strong.
Yep.
Too strong.
Yep.
Too strong. So
yep.
So
yep.
When it I believe, like, you know, for women, I don't see anything wrong with it. If a woman has a little one of those little pocket ones, and even if you're making love to your husband, you can also use that to stimulate yourself, no?
Right.
You can use that right. Also to help make the harmony, you know, make it more
yeah,
harmonious.
Yeah, harmonize with
yeah.
The music.
Yeah, but it is music for real. It is indeed music. It is indeed music. There was something else I wanted to ask, but let's talk, until I remember, because
I remember
my thoughts have wandered. So Auntie Martella, you don't have nobody enough your life, so there's no chance that you even you lock up your sexuality and lock up in a locker and fling away a key.
Me lucky. Yeah, but hold on, sister, hold on. Me not really choke, me lock it, you know, but me not dash for the key. Because,
oh.
You know, me still, as Brenda was saying, me don't want no object, me want a person.
Yes.
You understand? Me need a person. Now, if me see that, but me not see nobody yet. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So
but,
me not really choke with the key.
Okay. The other point we want to touch on tonight is, women, you'll hear women moaning and groaning. Are they really feeling anything to be moaning and groaning? Because, you know, I when I came here, I had nowhere to live. I was living with my girlfriend, and somehow she was going to Jamaica and the Friday. She was going to Jamaica the Friday, and she called me on the Thursday, told me on the Thursday that she couldn't, she didn't want anybody to be in her house when she left. So I had to find somewhere to go. So I used to do here that time. So I went to this little motel down the road, and I can tell you this. I stayed at that little motel for a while, and I stayed at the motel for a few nights, and by golly, I couldn't sleep because the amount of moaning and groaning and moaning and groaning and bawling and carrying on, bedhead and lick up on the wall.
What?
You're like, wow, that must be nice, because for a woman to be carrying on like that. And honestly, I don't know about you ladies, but I don't believe in this loud sex and this weaponized, and because...
I
there's
know,
empty Bible, it was nice.
Kind of
empty Bible, it was nice. It's not nice, you know. You have some men cuss bad word. You have some women, them, kill me.
I think that's a turn off.
My father told us this joke. He said this woman and this man, they were having sex, and the woman had one cow. And when it's sweeter, the woman said, take it home, when I go and do it. Take it home.
Mm-hmm.
And the man, soon as my man gets nice, man, I get a cow. What? I must be doing good. So the man, when the man get up and clean up himself and get ready to leave, the man start loosening the cow rope. The woman said, where are you going with the cow? The man said, you tell me if you take it to the man. The man said, no, that's a fuck talk.
Murder. No,
Jesus. That is something that is not, there's no truth to that. So you left me call. So it goes to say, what do you think, ladies? Do you think these women are feeling anything, and what is your personal experience? Let's start with Auntie Marcella. You used to hooking up, because so you started with you.
That's not true. Yeah.
Were you a noisy person?
No, me know you know the loud thing. If me and do something with somebody, me I'll put the pillow over them mouth.
Right. I'm a church girl.
you put the pillow over them mouth. You can't make much noise. Like you kill them or something.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
They turn you off.
So, Auntie Charnel, let's hear from
yes,
you.
Dear.
You're so like
you get up my no, man. But tell us, I'm a shy person. And when I just started, no, something over my face. You know?
Are you putting a panty in your mouth?
No, sir.
If you stop
put,
it from
put
screaming.
The pillow over me. They put the pillow over me because I don't want to see the face.
Mm-mm.
You know? But as I got older and more experienced, yeah. And, you know, the other party was more experienced or whatever, and me again, and that course, and then also make me a feel Dominic morning, but me not the loud cuss bad word thing, like that.
Oh, God. You know, a lot of women would never say the word S-U-C-K. But they will say
I never
it.
I need to say it, you know, but Mrs. Me
they,
get all and
yeah,
things
they
sweet
will
me
say that word. Yes, they will say that word because, I mean, it was like a taboo. I had to teach myself stuff because I know I had to do a lot of little talking and, you know, stuff. So, and I talk to people and people like them get a girl and say, I have to talk to them like, oh, them talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all them things. You have to talk like them. For them
well,
understand.
Well, I didn't need any coaching. I did not need any. I feel like I'm like right now, like on me right for the picking.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. That's why people are running from me.
People, them boy, I'm afraid to kill them off.
People, boy, I'm afraid
run from you.
Yeah. But, no, it is so spontaneous for me. I don't even think about it. And, the last, my home that I moved from Miami and the one I live in now, my house, not the house of my brother beside me, so far from me. My house is far from the gate. Nobody not live behind me. So I was on freedom. And I live alone, right?
So you can scream all you want.
Oh, God. Let me tell you something. Me like the rest of traffic, you know. I mean, like when the person talks to me, so me like when they talk to me, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes.
They might go F out your brain and all them something there.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes
they
kill
me.
Afterwards, you know. They remind
you know,
me, I'm like, no, I did not say that.
I have this joke, right? I have this joke. This guy in Jamaica, he's deaf, he's out of hearing. So we like to talk to him because we like to hear, you know, how he be like,
yes.
I miss you yesterday. Are you the over there? So, you know, so
mm-hmm.
One day, you know, we're talking to him about sex and everything, like sex and so on. And he must say, yes, one time me go grab sex with one girl and me give her $50. And when he sweet me give her $10 more.
That's a good one.
Yeah, $10 more. I mean, we used to just tease him about, you know.
Nothing wrong with Dung Nessau.
No, nothing wrong with Dung Nessau. And it looked like he was endowed, you know, because he's thick and big, you know. And come to think of it, another myth I need to dispel tonight. A lot of women feel that when they see some big old giant man, they have some big old sitting.
Not true. Not for
all of them. You have some little man, you know. You have some little man and then sit and catch them at
their knee.
Yeah. You know, when I was at St. Joseph Teachers College, there was a man who used to be on the compound. We call him Jagger. And at night, the men used to jump over the fence and come to the dormitories, and then I mean we close at 8 o'clock, so there nobody can come in. The dorm doors are closed at 8, so you can't go out and nobody can come in unless you have a special pass to come in. And we would set out and watch them, you know, because they come and masturbate, you know, man after man after man, you know. And yeah, there were some of them, we said, we'd like to see them one day. We'd like to see them one day. Some of them just crying and we couldn't take them. And I was so mischievous that one night I have a friend named Jasset. And Jasset and I, some drinks bottle the night, pull them up a water and carry them upstairs. We live on the third floor. Carry them upstairs, you know. And Mr. Jasset, we're going to lick down one of them tonight. You know, time for them top come over here. We're going to lick down one of them. And the hombre come, and I promise you, the guy is such a nice, clean guy. When you look at his vest, his merino, white and pretty, you know, and him nice pants, the boy come, nice clocks, the boy have on, and him draw down him pants. I hear him start, because when him say, pss, pss, you know, expect the women to be looking down. And Mr. Jasset,
right.
I'll tell you the story. Mr. Jasset, a full time, listen up. And sure enough, man, Jasset push your hands out. And we just drop it back upon the boy, you know, man. And the boy, we not see him again. The boy just drop up in pants and run under the tree. We not see him again, and we watch. I must about one next 10 minutes before we see him crawl from under the tree and crawl over the fence, and we never see him come back again. But then this one named Jagger, he was a resident. I mean, him live on the compound. But he said he has hormone problems. So he have a big old penis and penis passing knee. Me not joke.
Thank you, man.
There was a cherry tree beside the kitchenette. Downstairs. The kitchenette's downstairs. And there was a cherry tree down there. And one night, me don't know where me go for down the kitchen. And me say, me look outside at Mr. Jagger. Me hear something at the window. Me look up Mr. Jagger. And Mr. Jagger holding penis like he's a oozing hole. And Jagger starts praying. He was ejaculating. Jagger started spraying the cherry tree.
Yes.
And I have to go upstairs and tell the girl and say, oh, no, eat no more cherry from that tree. Because me just the Jagger. So when we talk to Jagger now, when we talk to Jagger now, we're like, you will see him sit down like on the benches that we sit down and study at daytime, the seat on the college campus. And, you know, we said, Jagger, why your penis so long? And he tells us that he was in the military, was a soldier. He has a hormone problem that causes penis to grow like that. We said, the man have a... We don't call that penis, we call that hood. The man have a hood.
Yeah, man.
So we ask him, do you have a woman? He said, no, he can't do to any woman. So we said, why you come here and do this? He said, the fact that there are females there, and he's not going to rape anybody. It's just that there are females, and him hear the female voices, and,
it's,
you know,
a psychological thing.
Yeah. But these guys would come, even we have the math room, the college. I don't know if any of you guys know the St. Joseph Teachers College campus. But it's a big
campus. I know it's a
Overtown,
yeah.
Right. So we have this big field, like we play volleyball and netball to the back. We have the math room and the PE room. And one day we're in the PE, in the math class. And when we look at the door, the doorway, we're sitting in the class, like about 6 feet from the last girl sitting. This man come and take out his penis and start work. Mister, when the class scream, and guess who run him down now? Guess who run him down, man. And he run and drug up his pants and jump over a fence. Yeah. But we encountered a lot of that at St. Joseph. Holy for that. Every night was that.
My goodness.
And you know, it's just because they said that the fact that there were females there and the female voices.
You girls
Go
are
ahead.
Lucky because you had numbers. But there's only a thin line between somebody escalating from doing
There was one time when like normally on a Sunday evening you go back on campus, right? And get ready for class for Monday morning. So this woman, she came from one of them country places up in a Saint Anne or Saint Mary, somewhere she had come from. But she came on the Monday morning when everybody was in class. So normally the dorms are locked, and the it's either you have to go to the keys were kept in the nurse, in the nurse room, the nurse office. And normally you'd have to go to your group leader or the host mother for her to give you the key, and they gave her the key and she went over there to pick up stuff, put on her uniform to come over. And you see when she come, she come with a ratty black eye, you know, this boy fight her and thump her in her eye, but the boy was always lingering, him act like him mad. But when you look at him, you see him not mad. Him used to take off the girls and panty off of the line and wear them, put them on and walk up and down in them.
And
the campus wasn't safe because we had vouched for the, you know, from, what they wrote the name? I don't remember the road name, I know, you know, because that's all long ago. Which road, the little theaters and it's so the college the college has three schools. It has Alvernia and St. Francis and the St. Joseph Teachers College. So it's a big old campus.
Crossroads between them side, the man.
Yes.
Let's say the bottom of Crossroad also.
So we had a lot of visitors, nights after nights. We had visitors consistently, so we had to protect ourselves from those. Yeah, we're on Old Hope Road, so to the back of it, where you have the little theater on the other side, So the college, it's between two major roads, so we couldn't fence it up.
There was one night,
you know, when we said we hear them are rape this girl. At the time, we don't have phone. The only phone we had then was in the little box phone. In the little call box them. And we hear them rape this girl, you know, we hear them rape the girl.
One on the school mate?
No. Somebody they carry off a road. And then when you go to like the art room in the mornings, the art room like it faces the one of the major roads for coming at the college campus.
Mm-hmm.
When you look and see condom bags and so on and sitting the morning tell we have to sweep them off and all them.
The most times I put on condom for rape people.
Me don't know really, but you see, they used to use it also. They used to use it also as place to carry them woman coming on.
Different people.
All different things happen there. So that is why when we walk at night, we walk in a group, big group like 10 away, because there was. 2 hours were close together, and there was one that was all the way across. And if the third year students or the senior student, and the senior student would live over that hall, and then the assistant senior student would live on another hall. So if you have any conversation to be had with anybody, you have to walk across campus then. And it was very dangerous to walk with. We used to walk with knives. We used to walk with knives in order to get from one end of campus to the next.
That thing was uncommon, you know. I went to JSA, Jamaica School of Agriculture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our campus was very big. And there were some parts of the campus that were very dark.
That's the Jamaica School of Agriculture at Twickenham Park?
Yes,
that one. Before
it turned.
Before it turned the police academy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know
every inch of that campus.
All right. Well, you know, down on the field. Down on the field. When you're coming up, you come up a hill and pass the tuck shop to come at to one side of the campus.
Mm-hmm.
They had something else. They had something going on
the
there
tuck,
one night.
The tuck shop. The commissary.
Right, right. Some of them group of people over there, something was going on one night. And this girl left, walking, come to where we would have called up with a female dogs in my big yard. And she stopped at the bottom near the cafeteria and go use one bathroom. And I just saw her walking by herself. I didn't know them follow the girl in that bathroom and repair somebody repairing me that night. The girl is a virgin, not bathroom yet.
Wow. But I don't know if it's like when I was at the police academy, because the commissary is like off to itself.
Yes.
Where you have to walk down a little hill to get down there.
Yeah.
That's where I know the commissary to be.
But didn't say campus was a big campus, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because
the admin
block.
The admin building the way up by itself. There were three blocks, I think, that the guys used to live on when we were there. That they're closer towards each other in a cluster. And then you had, like, some lecturers' cottages and so nearby. But still, from admin, come down to any one of the blocks.
Yeah, man.
But you turn it around like you're going on the fields. I mean, that place is lonely.
Afar, yeah, man. The play field, enough tears me shed from the field there, the drill square, enough tears me shed from the drill square.
Yeah, and if you come up the hill from the gate, if I walk.
Yeah. That is so true. A couple of mornings when me run the whole campus, me just lie down in the road, and everybody gone, me just dash down my arm. Yeah. Well, let's get back to the almost finished the show though. We almost finished. So let's get back. Who never get a chance to answer their question? We never get a chance.
Which question?
It was a question about how you feel not able to have sex, or you don't have a partner, you know, what do you do or how do you feel? Because there comes a time in your life, I don't know, I've been divorced more than once. So, me they go through loneliness. I've been through loneliness, and my girlfriends used to ask me, how you go home by yourself and lock your door and just go sleep and you know have no man? But if you don't think about it, and as you rightly say, Brenda, I know every animal you got to jump and lie down with.
No, sir.
The animal, it must be come with substance. And, you know, if I should even, if something should happen to my husband, no, I say my husband even pass, because me and him now part, him now go nowhere, and me now go nowhere. Him now go nowhere, and me now go nowhere. So no partition, no in this. So let's say something should happen to him and he pass, you know. And it's not going to be, like an easy thing for me, Faye. Pick up somebody right now, because...
Oh, no. Look here, take it from me. Let me tell you something more you don't know about me. My husband and I were so in love. And, I mean, we were so in love. Everybody who know any one of us, I know us together. If people know what I tell us, say, my husband, get up. His number one thing every day was how he could make my day better. Man, if you wake up a morning time, I hold my face and I'm hanging on a regular basis. I said, Brenda, thank God for you. Sometimes you tell me that God sent you to me. I mean, he loved me out loudly and loved me in such a way that, and he allowed me to love him back, right? I mean, to tell my friend, and I tell everybody, say, if my husband dead, and I'm even hear one rumor, say, me a think about, to walk along the road beside another man, camera can say, my head good. Because we don't want anybody else.
Brenda, a lot of these men are coming, as my daughter called them, build a beer man. Because she don't want to build a beer man. No, build
what
a beer man. Build. You have to go build them. Build a beer. You know, when you go build a beer,
no,
you never go to the build a beer. You never been to the build a beer place in the mall where you go and you
no,
go to build a beer.
Where
you pick up
the... No projects.
Right. So a lot of them are coming as projects. And as we're talking, Brenda, we're talking today, and I was saying, these men, let me lose my train of thought. These men, I mean, they're not alpha male, them feel intimidated, and a lot of them, the men who are coming to us at this age, they would have already have children, wives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't know what they want. They don't know what they want for two sisters.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. you know, they're just coming to waste your time. They're just coming to waste your time because you want somebody.
What I was saying to you, for the first time in my life, I've been single before. I've been single for years. I'm never lonely. For the first time in my life, I've experienced loneliness. I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know if it's because I was married so long, because I was married for months shy of 28 years. And even my husband had dementia. He was my husband, and I took him everywhere. We did everything together. He was still my company. And I just feel so, well, all right, I have it already. I had my great love already. I'm done. Well, somebody did come tease me up, fashion me, and make me realize that I still have feelings and I still could love, and it never worked out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I am in serious like with somebody else. After me, don't give up again and say, you know what, I crawl back on my rock. You know, I find somebody so fast with me. And I realize I don't want to be alone. I don't enjoy being alone. And here it is. I see somebody who I very much like, and I'm even hoping that it would be a viable relationship that could lead, could be long-term and lead to some kind of future. But as of right now, I'm going away. You know, I'm even wondering, what is it these people see me that next time?
But Brenda,
I don't know what to do with me. Huh?
Brenda, could it be that these men feel intimidated by you?
But I keep on hearing this. What is so intimidating? Listen, if you ever see me in a relationship, you're
okay,
not
Brenda,
me.
Brenda, the person that I know you to be right now, just talking to you, you are very bold. You are very bold. And a lot of men are intimidated by bold women.
Amen.
But
amen.
When I'm in a relationship, I'm extremely vulnerable, very soft. Very, very soft with the person in my life.
A lot of men may say, well, no, she's too aggressive. We might not be aggressive, but you're just a strong person. You know what you want, and you know what you're looking for. They might not be coming with that.
Yeah.
And feels intimidated by you know, especially how you express yourself.
I think that's a part of it.
Yeah, a lot of men, you know, they're not used to that.
I'm talking to somebody who's very brilliant, very articulate, accomplished.
It doesn't mean anything.
Because I don't like no fool. I don't deal with
dumb. Look here, you have a lot of men who are brilliant, articulate, as you say, and they're a dopey bat.
They don't even know
how to ask a woman for a kiss, or to caress a woman, go up to her and talk to her and get her in the mood to give her even a kiss.
Me think them like the idea of me, but when they get up close and personal with me, they don't know if they do it with me again.
Brenda, probably just probably you come off as harsh to them. You might be articulate and brilliant and intelligent, but you may just come off too harsh, too rough.
That person is all of that. It's somebody who has a presence. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for dunce men. You understand? And this is somebody who we can go toe to toe. So I don't see what would be so. And it's somebody who I've bared my soul to. So they know that, I mean, I may come off as being tough and all of that, but they know my soft underbelly. So I don't know. I really don't know. I think what happens, some of these men just like, they feel like they can always get somebody cuter. They can always get somebody cuter, and they can always get somebody more this, more that, more the other, so they're holding out for more. That's what I think.
All right. Leave them like that, sister.
Okay. But, well, if it's going to be like that, I don't know when I'm going to find somebody. I don't know when I'm going to find the person who is going to, you know, who is going to match you toe to toe. Trust me, a lot of men are intimidated by strong women. And you don't want to build a beer. You don't want to build a beer.
The man who's going to be intimidated by me. I think it's because if he don't want to be accountable, if he wants to have me on one side and
having little shenanigans are going on the other side, that never work because I'm very, let me tell you, people from concerts know what I'm going to do because you can't pull me up for too long.
Well, William, probably speaking from experience. Probably speaking from experience with these little jigger heads are, what they call them in Jamaica? Call them girl and chicken head. Chicken head. There's a new name. Me them call the girl name. It's like chicken head. Chicken head.
Really?
Chicken head. Yes, chicken head. A chicken head,
but
that man.
I forgot to know chicken head to feel good because I will, let me say, when I deal with no small boys, when I deal with nobody where not have no presence, when I deal with no dunce, no fool, no idiot, you know, and I'm going to make him, I will compliment my man. I will tell him why I like him, what I like about him. You know,
but then what you need to do is to ask yourself, why is he not staying? If he has the presence, if him have this and him have that and him have that, why is he not staying? Why is he not interested? Why is he not moving on? Why is he on pause? Or why is he just inching up? Why
here,
isn't he stepping quicker?
I said to the person, as much as I said, look here, we obviously we have a lot in common. We like to share, we like to talk. So we can't be buddies and I can't be one of the guys and say, absolutely not, you know, I'm one of the guys. So we don't have to do this, you know, we don't have to do it at all. No, I want to do it. So, but nothing not happening, we're not going for, yes, we're going to be okay. I just want to take my, well, we have time. How much
time? No, we don't have time.
You don't know how old you are.
We don't have no time.
People are dying like flies. I want to live. I want to do things together.
Of course.
If what we think is really there, and if it's there, let's build on it, you know?
Why? Some of them not look for nothing still. From the look of it, they not look for nothing. You know?
Right.
I look for nothing.
Maybe I'm too ambitious at my age, you know? Because I'm not aware when I pick up people, that's how they put on or they put in it down, which I also said. I said, look, people don't understand my drive. They don't understand why I'm in school, like, they're not the 8 hours I do what I do. And not everybody can deal with that. You know? So,
hold on, Auntie Cecile. Hold on, Auntie Cecile. Night devotion at 10 minutes time, so we have to go catch you one next night.
Okay, Auntie Martella, it was nice having you, and I truly enjoyed your presence.
Yes, sister. Yeah,
all
we
right,
have
so
some church family, go call.
Okay,
huh?
I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, man, we talk tomorrow night. You know it, go
okay,
already.
Then. Take
and
care
good,
yourself,
good night, Brenda, and good night, the next lady on the other side. Good night.
Auntie Shirley, okay.
We link up next week, Saturday night, all right?
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good night.
All right, good night. Good night, cool. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yes,
so,
and so speaking, you know, my ear, the hotel room next door, may hear some sound of bang.
Oh, my goodness.
What is this? Same thing they know.
Yeah, so we have had a very nice talk, and we could go on. I could do this for hours.
But I didn't even realize that it's after 12,
you know. When somebody said, I talk to God like when we talk to me. I'm saying, Lord, you made me, and you know what you made. And you didn't give me all of this love and all of this loving and caring. So just sit on our corner, shrivel up and, you know, vegetate. So I said, somewhere there's a man out there looking for a Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to be good and kind enough to lead us to each other and make us find each other. And if I woo me, would I hope it is, I think it is, then, Lord, may I hurry up and wait. And if it's not, then, you know, show me one burning bush.
Oh, my
so goodness.
So
we can keep it moving.
Okay.
But you think there's still good men out there, but where can you find them? Because you can't even find a good man, not even at the church. You know, sometimes I would rather go outside and find somebody.
No man in their church. No
it
man in
their
church.
It is very
scary.
All of the men in church are married. They're married and have their girlfriend
yes.
in the church same way.
Yeah,
married and have their girlfriend at church, see me.
Are very
because,
few.
They are Janelle.
There's few men in the church. I'm more women in the church than men.
Yeah. If you're saying that if you're going to bank on finding a spouse, find a boyfriend, find
your
a husband
son.
In a church, you can forget that because all women, the churches are filled with women. The men are mainly in a prison. Yeah.
Yes.
And probably
are
not because,
turning
probably,
to each
probably,
other.
Probably, are they even, they become gay?
Yeah.
Are hula gay? That's it. Are hula gay? Are they out there flirting? This is because there's so many. Hey, I wouldn't even nice single sister out there, you know. And I think some men are just confused. They have such a buffet of women to choose between and among that them not feel like they don't need to do nothing no time soon because them have them head, as me say. Them have their head pan swivel.
Mm-hmm.
Just a look from woman to woman to woman to woman. Just a salivate of a woman. You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah, I'm asking God, I say maybe my Adam no born yet because, you know, I'm like, when am I going to find my Adam? I'm a good woman. I can't find a good man.
Who's
not looking for something, you know?
And you know, something, I was talking with somebody and the person, just like you, Brenda, the person is looking around for somebody. And when I told the person that I found my husband online, the person was shocked. And we were married within 1 month of meeting. It wasn't a month. We were married.
Boy.
Within a month. Because I met my husband on November 9.
When you know, you know.
I met him on November 9. And my birthday was November 7th, November 11th. Yes, November 11th. And we were married on December 9th. Less than a month.
That matter, I can tell me about wait and wait. I can't tell me wait and what. Wait and what?
So a lot of times when people, no, that waiting thing, they're not interested. Because if you see what you want
that's
and talk to the person, and yeah, to me, it's just
so
that waiting thing.
When I give you so many outs, I'm going to say, look here, we can stop it right there. Say, all right, no, you know, no. I don't want to. Well, we don't have to know. You know, I want to be with you. Then why? Why not tell to me, say, you know what happened? This was a mistake, you know, I'm not feeling you anymore or something like that. Why not just do that? It's just dishonest. What is that?
Yeah. When they act like that, you need to forgive them the Usain Bolt. You need to figure them that you see in
both. You said this is what, when we get my feelings wrapped up and tangled up in something, that's what I don't want. You know, and you know, somebody you never did a look, you know, appear the person of mine, and then them really get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the situations I'm in, you know, that this person really has my attention.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's what made some of them never believe that appear them not mine. Yeah, they were just joking. I never think
you were
serious.
Well, all that, you know, all of that too. But ladies, we're winding down the show, and I'm inviting you back next week.
I'm still typing.
Come back, and we'll be talking about oral sex because that's a taboo. A lot of people. You'll be listening. No, I want you on the show. You know, a lot of women, especially Jamaican women and Jamaican men, it's just this taboo about oral sex, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all stemming from, you know, you hear them say, go suck your mother. It's all coming from that. You know, this suck thing. You know,
just that, the other side of it, not to start the show from this week, but the other side of it, holy hell. Well, first of all, I don't want to be all over somebody where I see. That's why I can't have casual sex. If I am with you, I must be confident enough in you that you can be all over each other.
Well, you see,
you see,
the average Jamaican man do not have sex, do not make love. They have sex.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between lovemaking and just having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Having sex tends to be very casual. But lovemaking to me is very formal. It's like a delicacy, like having a meal, you know? Different parts of the meal. But
It's a ballet.
You know, it's like sex to me is like going to McDonald's and driving up to the window. You know, and
yeah,
you get a Big Mac.
Like
and you just
symphony, girl.
Are you just
get a Big Mac. Right, you just get a Big Mac and you just chew it and then you fling the paper through
yes.
the window.
Yes.
You fling the bag
yes.
through the window.
As opposed to a buffet. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. So we're going to be talking about oral sex next week. And we're going to be looking at the taboo, Jamaican man, and a lot of Jamaican men.
So
wow.
they're going to do it, a lie.
A lie, them a tell. And as Brenda said, not to start the show. Not to start the show from tonight, but I tell you something. I my ex, he used to be manager at one of these big companies in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
West Indies pulp on paper. I think even why you're not in your business.
Right.
So he came home one day and telling me his friend said, "Oh, now I met a man sucker my wife from me, you know." So I'm looking at him like, "What's going on?" So me wake up one morning before the morning and say, "What is a guan?" You know, I don't know if you guys know Spanish Town Hospital.
Yeah.
Or you never go hospital and see them. Or them, you know, go someplace and see them are clean with the clean. You know, the long mop. And you put it in the pocket and you squeeze. I saw it feel like them big, dirty mop. And I'm like, "No, brethren, no. If this is what oral sex is, it is such a turn off. This is, it's like, you know, him just a squeeze out the mop. Him just flash the mop, and then he squeeze it out, and he flash it again, and he squeeze it out. I'm like, "No, boss man." And I say it go. Because this is what oral sex is.
People live like that.
Because what I hear about oral sex, boss man, it's like oral sex is so nice and delicious. There's this deliciousness that goes along with oral sex. But if this is what oral sex is, brethren, no. Me not a sign of deliciousness right now. So it's a no-no for me. And until later on, when I got something good, then I realized that, yes, something good.
I guess you might forgot to miss the ice cream, man. What? What's the ice cream man name again?
The police
officer. Yeah, what's the name again? Them have one name, Squaddy. Them have forgot
Squaddy. Squaddy bad. Squaddy expert,
Squaddy,
man.
Squaddy.
It's,
you know, you're the woman tell Squaddy where I said you don't want him to send it overcome.
Yeah, because Squaddy good. Squad is really good. Squad is an expert. So tomorrow night, Saturday night, folks, we'll be coming back, and I'm inviting you all to come back. And this has been the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. And this is where we say good night to you all.
So to close out this show,
let me say if I close out the show with this song.
Ale prospère when we